Will you join me as we prepare our hearts for a message? Holy One, we give you at this time thanks for the fact that we do have a rock to stand on and that it is forever an option for us. May the ideas that we talk about today be ones that help us understand even greater the relationship that we have with you. And today and always, we just ask that the meditations that are on our hearts be filled with your holy presence, your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when Phyllis sent me this fabulous scripture, I said, really? Really? Demons and unclean spirits, fevers, and going to the desert to pray. How many of you think that would be something you could just jump into? Yeah, that's how I felt. And I'm like, we've got two people right there. Another one, I'm not sure where Carol Hale is, right here. There may be even other ordained pastors or nearly ordained people among us. And I get the demonic scripture. And then I remember on New Year's Day saying how delighted I was. I got the one scripture and Jacob got the other. So I think one of you told on me. I am not trained in ministry. I have no degree in it. But I come every week, just like you may, seeking to make meaning out of what sometimes is difficult text. So thankfully, I think Phyllis knew I was struggling a little bit with this one. She gave me a couple of ideas. And she went on. Now, how many of you have ever had an idea shared with you by Phyllis? Thank you for your humor. She gave me a couple of ideas, and at the end of those ideas, I'm like, really? Really? So then I sat and I kind of went to that place of prayer. Help me make something out of this that I can understand. It's not that other people can't understand it. Help me understand it if I've got to talk about it. Help me get what the big message is here. I really struggle with demons. I hate that word, demon. I don't even like the word fever. I don't like fever because to me, fever is associated with being sick. And I don't like being sick, and I don't like talking about being sick. And my family will tell you I don't even like the sounds that come with being sick. I'm not in the medical profession for a reason. I'm not good at sick. But then I thought, okay, there has to be something in all of this that we can talk about. Because the truth is, sometimes we have in our hearts sickness. Sometimes we have fevers. And sometimes we have fevers and demons. So what are some physical symptoms of a fever? Sweat. I'm doing that now. Say that again. Chills. Fatigue. Confusion. Headache. Delirium. I heard something over here, I'm sorry. Temperature. Your body temperature actually rises, right? Does anybody turn red when you have a fever? Sensitivity. A sensitivity, right? So these are all physical symptoms of a fever. I don't think the message about fever is about those physical symptoms. But when are some times in our life we might react, or our bodies might react in exactly that way, when it's not because we're sick? when we have anxiety, when we're under stress. I'm sorry? Hormones. Oh, man, can I relate to that. How about when we have shame? How about when we have not just anxiety, but depression? Have you ever been sick with worry about something? So if we think about the context of this message, not just then about somebody having a fever and being healed, but about the things that represent fever in our life, then maybe there is good information in this text. Because what it says, what Marcia so beautifully told the children, is that when we have fever, God can heal us. But we have to be willing to be healed. Are there places in your heart that are broken? Are there places in your life that are cracked? Has this economy stressed and pressured you or people you love? Have you ever worried this food doesn't exist for you? We have in our lives fevers. All of us have fevers in our lives. And the simple truth is, it doesn't matter if you're a good person, a bad person, if you've done something good or done something bad, life will cave in on you at some point. But there's hope in this message. What about demons? I'll talk about me for a minute. So this isn't about you. Have you ever noticed? Well, you may not have seen me enough to notice this, so I'll just kind of out myself here. Once or twice in my life, only once or twice, I've said something. Well, yeah, obviously I get a reaction there. Once or twice in my life, I've said something, and I'm like, who is that person talking? Now, that may never have happened to you. Again, I'm not trying to put my stuff on you. But I mean, you open your mouth, and out of it comes something, and that is not you. There's no part of that that's you, right? So maybe it is a poltergeist, kind of a demon, right? That lives inside of us. Maybe there really are demons in me. Now, again, I'm talking about me, not you for a minute. I can remember, oh, I almost hate to tell you this because you'll think so much less of me, right? I can remember once when a child in school said something to me and I said, what? Do you know what that child wanted to tell me? Your pants are unzipped. Yeah, poor kid. Guess when that was? Graduation. So, I've had those moments in my life when a demon is in there. And I will be honest with you. I try really hard to be patient. And my guess is, if we expand it now, again, I'm not talking about you personally, but about you as a whole. My guess is that you do too. That you really try to treat other people the way you want to be treated. But we do have in us moments of impatience, don't we? Again, the whole collective. I'm not asking you to own anything, just about everybody. We have moments of impatience. We may have moments of anger. We have moments of self-doubt. We have moments of feeling unworthy. All of those things are examples of things that live in us that don't serve us, that really are not very healthy. I go back to the beginning of the year, January 1st. Many people have a practice of making a New Year's resolution. How's that working for you? Because what we try to do for those New Year's resolutions, if we make them, is to banish some bad practice or bring in some good practice, right? Or maybe I'm just talking about me. I didn't hear any humor. Thank you. I need more of that. Do we try at times in our life to do the right thing? Do we try to tamp down inside of us whatever it is that bubbles up when it shouldn't, like anger or impatience? When I was a principal, I kid you not, I would get in my car at the end of the day. It was a large school, 3,200 students, 300 and something employees, huge school of teenagers. I would get in my car, and it would be the first time in the day nobody was talking to me. They even followed me into the bathroom sometimes. I'm not kidding. I would not turn on the radio. I didn't want to hear a sound. It's one of the few times in my life I wished I had a soundproof vehicle. And I would drive home a very short 3 miles. And I would walk in the door, and there sat my mom, who had been home all day long by herself. And what did she want to do? She wanted to talk. And I didn't. Not only did I not want to talk, I didn't even want to have to be nice about not talking. So we had to come to an agreement that for an hour, 1 hour from the time I walked in the door until that hour had passed, I had Tammy time. No interaction, no demands. I felt so picked over by the time I got home. That's what I had to do for me. If I didn't do that, that impatient demon reared its head. And my mom was just excited to see me. Do any of you have pets? We'll get to children in a minute. Any of you have pets? They are so excited to see you when you get home, right? Woo, hello, I've been waiting for you. If you're a friend of Max on Facebook, he posted something just precious this week. Did anybody see it? A couple of you. I don't want to be inappropriate. But what do pets sometimes do if we make them wait too long? Right. So the little doggy says, hello, I'm so glad you're here because somebody had an accident. Right? Pets, it doesn't matter if you've been gone 5 minutes or 5 hours or 15 hours. They are delighted to see you when you get home. And boy, the clock is ticking. It's their agenda. Let's go for a walk. Let's play fetch. Let's do this. Now, how many of you have kids at home? Or have had kids at home? Same kind of thing, right? Woo, you're home. Here's all the stuff. Here's the note from my teacher. Here's the note from my parent. Oh, and by the way, we have to make 50 cupcakes for tomorrow. Right? And I have a science project due. So it's all about their agenda. What's on their mind? What's in their field of what's important? How many of you are excellent at practicing patience? I'm not raising my hand. I was just showing you what to do. A couple of you. Good for you. Anybody? How about this little demon that lives inside of us? Self-doubt. It is a big one. For many of us, it's a big one. You know, sometimes we can be our own saboteurs. We get in our own way of being successful. I'm not in a recovery program, but I certainly could be in a recovery program if they made one that was designed for me. And maybe they do. I think there is something called Overeaters Anonymous out there. If you think about recovery, what you know about it either personally or through the experiences in our society. In recovery, what we have to admit is how we've let something else have power over us. Demons that live inside of us, we let divide us from God's love. Marcia asked the children to pray for someone they don't like. God loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. Each and every one of us, exactly as we are, imperfect, cracked, not quite done yet, helpful, even when we are impatient, even when we are greedy, even when we are jealous, even when we harm others, God loves us. We just have to love ourselves. And in this scripture, this opportunity for Jesus to teach all of the people he interacted with, Jesus said, "I will heal even a woman." This is the first time we see Jesus healing someone. And it is a woman, just an everyday person like you and I. It's not a disciple. It's not a member of great wealth in the society. It is just a woman, as we are just people. God loves us exactly as we are. That doesn't mean we don't have work to do about getting rid of the fevers in our lives. That doesn't mean we don't have work to do about recognizing the things that live in us that don't serve us. And then, when we recognize those things that give us fever, those things that don't serve us, when we understand God gives us the grace of healing, God modeled for us what we can do. We can go off to those quiet desert places and pray. Just sit in quiet. Just be alone for a few minutes and think, "I know I'm not perfect, God, but I know you love me anyway. So how can I move forward from here, from this minute, from this place?" Some of you don't have jobs and you want them. Some of you have no one in your life to love and you want someone. Some of you have too many people in your life to love and want to love even more. Whatever it is that you face, whatever it is that has created for you a barrier, Jesus has modeled for us that it is our job, our responsibility to look in the mirror and say, "God loves me. No matter who I am, no matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, and no matter where I'm going." God tells us, like Todd and Steve did this weekend, and everyone who was a part of that, we don't have to listen to those voices in our head. We do not have to listen to things that don't serve us. There's a hymn that was written back in the 1850s by Henry Twells. And it says, I've shortened pieces and taken out a few things, but it says, "For some are sick and some are sad, and some have lost the love they had, and some are pressed with worldly care, and some are tired, tried with doubt. And some have found the world is vain, and some have friends who give them pain, yet have not sought out you as a friend. And none, O God, have perfect rest. Here in this solemn evening hour, and in your mercy, heal us all. This text opens the door for each and every one of us to welcome God into our life, knowing that God's healing is for us. And once we are healed, God is asking us, just as Jesus did, let's go to the next place and share the good news there. We always have to look behind us to see who does not yet have privilege, who does not yet have food for their bellies, and take what God has given us and share it forward. And that has been the theme of Reverend Phyllis's messages for us for the last few weeks about motivation and inspiration. So even in this text about unclean spirits and about demons, let it fill us with the knowledge that we deserve to be healed. We deserve to shut up those unclean spirits inside of us, to move beyond them and the barriers that separate us from God's love. And most importantly, the invitation, once we've done that, is to look around and say to you and 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 everyone else in between, how can we share God's love? One person, one handshake, one smile, one thank you at a time. What a wonderful example that we had of that this weekend in Bethesda. Will you join me in prayer? God, we give you thanks and praise not just for fevers, certainly not for demons, but for the promise that we have, that if we will just do some self-reflection and remember that you love us exactly as you made us, you have given us a model, a way to open ourselves to your love, and to remember that today and always, we are your children, and you love us exactly as you made us. In Christ's name we say, amen.